destiny is a moving target. It's like sometimes, like at first, I was upset that my business wasn't scaling, but then I was grateful that that hadn't happened because had that happened, I wouldn't have traveled and I wouldn't have discovered how much I love solo traveling. And also, I probably wouldn't have written my book. So even when things aren't happening the way you want them to happen, you can't get too down because there might be something around the corner that's better for you and better than you ever imagined. You have to move with life, not against it.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. New episode, new review to highlight, and this is a 5-star review from Smash Girl. And their review is titled, Over Too Soon. Dom is a warm, clever, insightful host who invites you to explore the universe together, then brings you in for a soft landing. Well, thanks, Smash Girl, for that 5-star review. Appreciate you indeed. And if you have something you like about the show, be sure to let us know via the Apple Podcasts app or leaving one of those reviews on goingnorthpodcast.com. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Gonna be in for a treat that's good enough to eat, my friends. That's right indeed, because today's guest is like, sure, she's a fellow Virgo, so you love to see it. So for those fellow Virgos out there and who knows how freaking super special, awesome we are, we got a super special, awesome human for you today, my friends, because today's wonderful guest indeed. She is an entrepreneur, soon to be best-selling author, because her book will be out by the time this goes out. Indeed, should be launch week indeed. She's gonna have a wonderful rocket to the moon with this one. And on top of that, she's also a freaking influencer, one of those real influencers that actually does stuff for real and actually has a business behind it, y'all. So that's right indeed, she is the real Dia Holyfield. She's also a world traveler too. So let's give it up for the G to the V herself, the gorgeous and freaking virtuous, the one, the only Giovanna Silvestri. How you doing today, Giovanna?
Yes to the Virgos and the G to the V. I loved this intro. I can't. I'm gonna play it every morning to myself. That's how good it was.
Well, I jokingly say it's one of the better parts of the interview is before the rabbit hole show up. So yeah, I can get my job then.
It did good. You did good.
Oh, sweet. How good did I do? Good with 2 O's or 7 O's?
7 O's.
Woo-hoo, I did cool. Yeah. All right, I leveled up. All right, cool. My job's over. Where can we find your book and your website? Let me stop.
Bye, guys. I'm out. Oh, my God.
Yeah, who am I kidding? We're supposed to be adulting. So, my goodness, as with all introductions, no matter how good they are, they probably forget a whole bunch of things. So, mind filling us in on how you became the fabulous lady that you are today?
Oh, well, let's see. I was born in California. I was raised in California. And I kind of like to tell a little backstory because I think it's really kind of cool. My parents owned an Italian restaurant and my dad was from Italy. And so I was raised working in my parents' business. I just feel like you don't see too much of that anymore. You know, like so many restaurants are corporate now or like groups.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of like to mention that because it feels like old school, but it's probably aging me, which isn't a good thing. But, yeah.
I wasn't kidding about gorgeous now. Come on now.
I was basically free child labor for my family. And I think that's where I got my entrepreneurial spirit, was from working in the business as a kid. And then I moved to Los Angeles to go to USC, University of Southern California. And then after that, I got a business degree. And then after that, I thought, oh, let me work in the entertainment industry because that's what the cool thing to do was back then. I don't think it's as cool now, but back then it was cool. And so I worked in the film and TV industry for several years and was very unhappy doing that. So I eventually left. Then I went back to my parents' restaurant and I thought, okay, maybe I'll take over that. Very unhappy with that. So I came back to Los Angeles and I just fell into this really deep depression. And I felt like I didn't know who I was. I wasted years doing all these things that it wasn't my passion, but I didn't know what my passion was. And I just felt really lost. So it got to such a bad point, I thought, like, I have to figure this out or I just don't even want to be here anymore. So I kind of put, the one thing I am is very disciplined. Like I think Catholic school really instilled that in me. They did a good job with that. So I'm very disciplined. And I just put all of my effort into self-help and figuring out how to like myself. I mean, to love myself was a big leap at that point, but I started to figure out how to like myself, then moved on to actually loving myself. And I went on this spiritual journey. And once I got out of the depression, I decided to start a video blog called Confused Girl in the City. And I called it Confused Girl because I thought that's the most authentic thing about myself right now. And whatever I was going to do moving forward, I didn't want it to be something that was, oh, I should be doing this or doing it to look cool or to please anybody. And I was like, I'm not pleasing anybody by calling myself Confused Girl. Like, it's kind of embarrassing, actually. But I was like, I'm going to be real. And I came up with this idea that every week on my video blog, I would do one new thing that I've never done before in an attempt to figure out what I liked, what I didn't like, what I was good at, what I wasn't good at. I kind of rebirthed myself, so to speak. And so that's how that started. And then it's really just crazy how you're going on your path and you're following your heart and you're following the breadcrumbs that the universe leads for you. And then eventually you're doing things that you never even thought you would be doing. Like I became an influencer. I started a yoga wear line. I traveled the world. I wrote a book that's now being published. And it's like everything just went from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. I mean, with definitely ups and downs, for sure. But yeah, it's been a crazy ride.
Crazy ride indeed. Straight indeed. Went from Space Mountain to the Six Flags Superman. You'll love to see. That's right, D's right indeed. Yeah, thing is, you had quite a few roles in Hollywood too, and Hollywood TV days too. Freaking killing it indeed. Like, shoot, was on that wonderful metaphorical rocket ship to the top. She was becoming the cream and the cherry on top. You love to see it indeed. So, my goodness. So, I guess with all that chasing leading to confusion as a given with chasing all the things of the world, going for the mundane lead you to the confused state. So it helped you to get out of it, because if I'm not mistaken, you called that period the dark night of the LA soul.
yes, I do call it that. Oh, that's so funny. So how I got out of that, it's really interesting when you get pushed to such a low point, because I got to this point where I just didn't care what anybody else thought about me anymore. And before, I had cared so much, like what my parents thought of me, what my peers thought of me, what the neighbor down the hall thought of me. I cared about it so much. And when I got to this point, I just stopped caring. And it was actually very liberating to just be like, I don't care anymore. You know, I'm confused, you know, middle finger to the world kind of thing. And it was from there that I was able to go, okay, I want to think differently. I want to feel differently. I really had never felt the feelings of joy and gratitude. And I was reading books about it and listening to YouTube videos about it because I thought, I felt, I was almost kind of like a tortured soul with inside of myself. And I was kind of like, does everybody feel like this? Or, and if everybody does, then what, like how, why are we all not like ending it? Because this is awful. This is no way to feel. So I was listening to lots of YouTube videos and reading lots of books. And I'm like, okay, there, if there's a will, there's a way. And I can change this. So I would, you know, wake up in the morning and I would go to a yoga class. Yoga really helped me because my brain was so compulsive and it was like obsessively thinking about all the ways in which I wasn't good enough. And I couldn't turn it off. But when I was in yoga class, I was doing like a vinyasa flow class, it would stop, like the negative thinking would stop. And then even after the yoga class, I had this period of just calmness where I wasn't obsessively thinking about my shortcomings. And so I was like, okay, well, if this is helping me, so let me continue to do this. So I was doing yoga almost every day. And then I started a gratitude journal. And I know everybody talks about gratitude journals and stuff, but everyone talks about it because they actually do work. Because even if you don't feel grateful, the mere fact of writing down things that you could possibly feel grateful for is training yourself to start thinking that way. Because then you go through the day and you go, okay, oh, that was nice. That man held the door open for me. Or that lady let me, you know, into the next lane. And you just start appreciating your blessings. Because the truth is, whatever you concentrate on, you're going to find. If you're always like, everybody's a jerk, humans are jerks, you're going to find the jerks. If you're like, you know, humans are really great, like they can be really kind, you're going to find kind people. I mean, what you look for is what you're going to find. And also how you're going to be in the world, how you're going to present yourself. So I'm just like, we have to count our blessings. I mean, the alternative is not doing that, which is miserable. Been there, done that. You don't have to. And then there were other things like meditation. I was doing a lot of meditation, tons of things. And then I figured out what I really liked and what calmed me. I figured out that water calms me. And so I would take baths, and sometimes when I would go exercise, I'd go to the gym with the pool and just swim laps, and that really calmed and soothed me. I think that's really important for everyone to figure out ways in which they can soothe themselves and calm themselves.
Yeah, to calm themselves indeed, the power of water. That's right indeed. So it's probably why water is such a healing element, because the body's mostly water anyway. It's like restoring the body, you love to freaking see it.
Good point. And because the body is mostly water, I really believe we're affected by the moon, because the moon controls the tide. I think it controls the tide within us. It's funny because working in the restaurant, like my parents were so not into the moon stuff or any new age thing. But my mom really got into like when it was a full moon or a new moon, because When you're working in a restaurant, you'll see like 200 people in one day. I mean, very rarely do you ever have a job where you're going to see that many people continuously. And on full moon nights, people would have the same kind of attitude. It was really crazy. Sometimes it'd be good. Sometimes it would not be good. Like just very unhappy people. There was nothing you could do to satisfy them. And so my mom and I really started to get into the phases of the moon, because we're like, this is real. We see it.
Yeah.
Let's prepare ourselves.
People gonna people.
People are gonna people. That is so true.
That's what I'm talking about, Dave's talking about Dave. So true. It's right, Dave. Funny enough, I remember my day job years ago. Had a supervisor who would keep a calendar of the moon phases up on the wall nearby his desk, so that way it would be like, hey, the customers are being extra weird today. All right, so is it a full moon today? Yep,
are
it
you
is.
Serious?
All right. No, I'm dead serious.
Oh my God, I love this guy. How funny. I really love this guy. He gets it.
Oh, yeah. That's right, indeed. Yeah, good dude. Good dude, indeed. It was so true. It's like, all right, when's the full moon happening? It's like, oh, crap. I guess the full moon's been all month. Oh, buddy. Let me stop.
Well, you know, recently we've had two eclipses within the last couple of weeks. So it's kind of been really crazy. It's about big endings and then new beginnings. So for me, it was interesting. So this partial eclipse that just happened on the 29th of March, that was about, and you have to tell me if this resonates with you. If it doesn't, I mean, whatever. I think kind of sometimes it hits certain people and doesn't hit certain people for whatever reason. But it was really about kind of taking a look at the behaviors you no longer want to put up with, people that might be not good for you anymore. It was really about relationships and what you no longer want to accept in your life. Did you get hit with that at all?
No, I even know it was a freaking half eclipse yesterday. That's crazy work. All right.
You're like, nope. I didn't. Oh my God. No, it hit me hard. I had some big realizations. I had a big realization. This is going to sound so silly and like, duh, but it was a big one for me. And I'm sure maybe a lot of women can relate to this. I have this realization that I don't have to hang out with people I don't like.
It's true. It's so true.
I mean, it seems like a pretty simple one, but you know, you have like some people in your family that you love them, but you don't like being around them, but it's almost like putting in time.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's been a lot of my family dynamics. And then I'm going, you know, I'm out in the world. And then with people, I'm like, oh, I don't really like them. They kind of energy suck me. And like, I get annoyed and easily frustrated with them. But then they'll be like, oh, let's hang out or let's do this. And then they act like they really care about me. And then it sucks me back in. And then I'm a little bit of a people pleaser. So I want to make everyone happy. So then I'm trying to make them happy and they love that, right? That's why they sucked me back in. And then I'm like, oh my God, I just don't like you. What am I doing? Why am I hanging out with you? Just because you want to hang out with me? No, I need to stop this. I don't like you. So that was my big realization. I do not have to hang out with people that I don't like. So there you go. We're always learning.
See, there you go. Confusion no more for that life lesson.
Yep. I'm less confused about that.
So is that gonna be a whole brand down the road? It's like, all right, we got confused girl in LA. It's like, all right, cool. So a few years down the road, it's gonna be, I don't know, enlightened girl in Montana or something.
Well, I think I want to keep everything under the umbrella of confused girl, because the thing about confusion is that we're always going to have it. Even if we're not confused about what we were confused about in our early 20s, we're confused about something else in our late 20s and then in our 30s and then in our 40s and our 50s. And it goes for all walks of life. In high school, what college am I going to go to? Or do I want to go to a college? You know, and then you graduate from college. Well, what job do I want to have? after you have the job, do I want to get married? Do I want to have kids? Do I want to quit this job and move to another country? It's like we're always asking ourselves questions. We always come to these moments in our life where we have some sort of confusion. And so the whole point of calling my brand Confused Girl was to take the shame out of it, because I had felt so much shame for not having all the answers. And now I realize that nobody has all the answers. We're all just experimenting and figuring it out as we go. And what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. That's actually quite beautiful. So now I look at confusion as a little bit of a superpower, because it means you're going to discover something.
Ah, so is that why you say confusion is a virtue?
Yes, that is exactly the reason, my friend.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. It's like, all right, cool. Let me wander for a moment. It's like, up. Oh, I'm not lost, just confused. There's a difference here. It's like, I'm going to find something. Up. Oh, I found it. This person's a freaking energy vampire. They got a big vortex. Run the other direction. Go north.
Okay, that's exactly, thank you. That's exactly it, right? So here I am. I've figured out a lot of stuff, right? And I would say I've gained quite a bit of wisdom. I've traveled the world by myself. I've dated so many different types of people. I've experienced so many different things. And here I am on a trip with this woman. And I'm like, it was just a couple day trip. And I was like, why am I here with her? What did I do? Now I'm trapped with someone that I don't even like. And they are literally sucking me of all my energy. So that was a moment of confusion. And it was like, what are we doing here? You know, it's kind of like slipping into familiar patterns that you're just done with. And again, it's so crazy, you know, to say to somebody, you don't have to hang out with somebody you don't like. It's like, duh. But sometimes people are so familiar to you, you don't know you don't like them. And that's very confusing.
Sorry, indeed. It's like, yep, they're familiar. Muscle memory's kicking in. Like, all right. Comfort zone. Hooray. Turtle shell. Yay. Let's stay in it. Like, no, get it out of there.
Don't do it. Run. Run.
Yeah.
We're always learning.
Yes, indeed. Well, speaking of learning, what else did you learn? Well, then again, the book's been published since you learned about the whole hanging out with people, Jim, but is there anything else you learned about yourself in the process through writing this magical book for the masses and the molasses?
Oh, gosh, I learned so much. I would say one of the coolest things that I learned about this whole book journey is that I really took a leap of faith. I moved to Bali for a year to write this because it's a very serene, relaxed place and it's not expensive. So I didn't have to like worry about, you know, scraping by and stuff. And I think with the process of creativity, it's really important to let it flow and not to force it. And I've always been the type of person that forces everything. So for me, my lesson with this was just, okay, on the days where you're inspired, write. On the days you're not inspired, don't write. And it doesn't matter how long this is going to take you. You have no agent. You have no publisher. This is just a passion of the soul. So it's not like I had a deadline or somebody over me saying, we need this, we need this. And then, you know, when I came back to the States, it's like, it was so easy to get an agent. I just, bam, I had two agents that wanted to sign me. And I chose the one that I felt like got it the best. And then for 2.5 years, I was rejected by publishers. And I thought to myself, oh gosh, this might not happen. And I might have to self-publish, which is fine. But, you know, it's definitely the whole process is just a lot easier with a publisher and you get paid, you get an advance. So I was like, oh gosh. But I didn't let it affect my worth. All the stuff, all of the growth I had done beforehand was before when I was getting out of my depression, I said, you know what? I will no longer put my self-worth in anything external outside of me. Like, it's not about a new boyfriend. It's not about a new car. It's not about a new career, new money. It's not about any of that. I want to feel worthy because I exist. So even when my book was being rejected, I was able to just be like, okay, well, let's see. What should we do from here? And then my dad was really sick at the time. And so I was concentrating on him. And then 2 months before he passed away, two publishing companies had a bidding war on my book. And I always had a friend that told me, life is about timing. Everything is about timing. And I didn't believe her. You know, I'm kind of like, screw that. You know, you create your own timing kind of thing. And it's definitely a dance with life. And I do believe there is a divine timing to things. And it's just so crazy how it happened with me, like how the divine timing happened with my whole project. And then everything from signing the contract with them, it's just gone so smoothly and it's just flowed. And things that I never thought would happen have happened. And so, like, I got a bigger advance than I ever thought was possible. They told me I wasn't going to be on the cover. I'm on the cover. A little picture of me on the cover, but I mean, you know, I think that was my dad. I think that was my dad in spirit world going, she's on the cover. She needs to be on the cover. And then I was told I'd have to audition to do the audiobook. And then I didn't even have to audition. And they paid me to do the audiobook. And it's just like all these little miracles, all these little things that were just a dream at one time are really happening. And I just go, wow, I really do believe this has all happened because I let go. I surrendered. Because when we work so hard on something and we love something so much, your instinct is to control it. Just like even when you meet a man or a woman that you really love, right? You want to control them because you don't want them to leave you. You don't want them to go away. You want things to go the way you want them to. And it's almost like you squeeze the life out of it. I've definitely done that to an ex-boyfriend. I definitely squeezed the love out of him for me.
Who's the vampire now? Stop.
I think a lot of people will relate to that. You know, when you really love, you just like squeeze the love right out of them because you're so scared of it not like it going away or losing it or whatever. But with this project, I didn't squeeze, I didn't control, I just let go and had faith. And it happened way bigger than I ever thought it could. And I would say that's like the biggest lesson out of all of this. It's like when you do things with love and you really care about them, at some point, you have to let it go. You cannot put your self-worth on anything outside of yourself. And you just gotta trust that it's gonna unfold in the way it's supposed to.
There he goes, right indeed. Some folks be like, never fold, and the universe be like, yeah, we're gonna unfold now. Like, no, never fold, never unfold. That's right. Timing is everything indeed. So how's the bidding war like? So like, how'd that even happen? Like, did your age just finally struck gold one day after two long years? Like, how was that process like?
You know, it's so funny because I had just come back from Morocco. I was in Morocco for 2 weeks and it was a horrible trip. I got sick and I was just, oh my gosh, I got back. My body was all messed up. And it was, I went for New Year's. So now it's like a week into the new year. I'm back in Los Angeles. I literally go inside my tub. That was like the first thing I did when I got back. I like started the bath. I went inside the tub and I was like, I had my phone in my hand and I was just flipping through emails to see who emailed me. And it was an email from my agent. And it was like, great way to start the new year. This publishing company is really interested in your book. Let's set up a Zoom call this week. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. So we set up a Zoom call with them. And there, oh gosh, I was like, is this even real? Did I just like flip into an alternate reality or dimension? Because I've been rejected for 2 years and there's like a whole team on a Zoom telling me how amazing my book is, that the ideas are so unique, that most self-help books are just rewrites of other self-help books, but this is completely different. They've never heard anybody talk about how confusion is a virtue. And it's so relatable. And I was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, this is so crazy. So before we got off the Zoom, my agent's like, okay, do you guys need to go back and talk about it, what you want to do with it? And everybody was on the Zoom call. Like usually the CEO of the company won't be on the Zoom call, but I mean, the CEO was on the Zoom, the editor, the marketing person, the PR person, like the whole team was on it. And my agent even said that was really rare. So my agent's like, oh, okay, you guys need to go back and talk about it and then let us know. And then the CEO's like, no, no, no. We know we want to put in an offer. We'll put in an offer in the next 24 hours. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. So get off the Zoom. Of course, you know, my agent calls me and she's like, okay, they're going to put in an offer. Now I'm going to go around to all the publishers that have the proposal, have your book proposal, but haven't gotten back to us. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so agent-y of you. You know what I mean? That's such an I wouldn't even think that way, you know, but she's like, okay, we gotta get you the best advance possible, the best deal possible, which that's her job, you know? So I'm just grateful that one person wanted me. And then she's thinking multiple bids. And I was like, I even told her, I said, ooh, that's so agent-y of you. So then the next day I was going into an Orange Theory workout and she calls me and she's like, hey, can you hop on a Zoom in an hour? And I said, yeah, I'll be done with this class. Yeah. And it was with another publishing company. And I got on the phone with them and it was just one person. And the woman was very reserved and that's just like her personality. She's not expressive. Like I'm very expressive. So I just took it as she wasn't that interested because she wasn't expressive at all. And the other company had been so expressive. So I called my agent after and I was like, oh, it's really nice that she's interested, but it just feels like she really doesn't care about it that much. And she goes, no, she likes it. She likes it. She's going to go and talk to the CEO and the whole team about it. And I was like, okay. So then that other company put in an offer. And because I'm so green, see, I actually did something really good here. But I didn't realize I did something good because I was just so green and didn't know what I was doing. So I didn't want that other company to have to wait too long for an answer after they put in their offer. Because I didn't want them to think we were, you know, my agent was going to other, even though that's the way the game works, you know, but I was just, because I've been rejected for so long. It's like, I was so excited. So I said, well, if the other, I don't think the other publishing companies that interested, if they don't put in an offer by Friday, I want to go with the other company. And so my agent called the other company and the other company was like, no, we want this. We want this. So they ended up doubling the offer of the first company.
Sweet.
And so that's how that happened. So me being green and kind of putting my foot down made them like act really fast.
So the grass is greener on the other side.
The grass is greener where you water it.
Yeah, that's right indeed. Both sides of the bid. That's right.
It was so horrible though to have to go back to them and say, you know, I didn't do it. My agent did, but it was just like, can I have both of them publish it? Yeah, it's like. But yeah, it's been a really cool ride. It's been a really cool ride. I have to say.
Woo-hoo. That's right indeed. That's right, a good ride indeed. You'll love to freaking see it. Well, congrats indeed. Congrats indeed. It's freaking huge. One of those rarities indeed. One of those rarities indeed. And plus, scoring double than what the first company offered, and not even have to actually audition for your own darn audiobook. Like, dude, that's freaking great.
Right? I mean, so challenging to do, but I was, I wanted to do it. I mean, I needed to do it. It's my book.
Darn Skippy. That's right indeed. That's right. Ain't no peanut butter if you ain't reading your own book. That's right indeed. That just makes it butter with no peanuts. And it's like, I got nut allergy. Well, it's non-peanut peanut butter without it.
Oh my gosh.
So my goodness, so since you're going on a tour promoting the work that you're doing with promoting this magical book, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
Oh gosh, is there a question I wish folks would ask me? No, not really. I mean, I wish I could come up with something. I go on a lot of podcasts, so I get asked a lot of questions about what inspired me and why I did this and all the things. I think a really funny question people ask me, they're like, oh, well, what are you doing next, right? That's just such a human thing. We want to know what's next for you, what's next? And I'm like, it's been 7 years to get to this point. I'm just enjoying right now. What's next will happen when it's time. But I'm like, right now, I'm just enjoying this ride.
So it's going to be a ride. Confused girl in the country. She's going south, y'all. That's what I'm talking about. That's right indeed. Let me stop.
I could see Confused Girl as like a TV series.
See, there you go. Netflix, holla at your girl, Giovanni, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Make me a character in the episode, too. At least one of the episodes. Like, I could be the DJ of somebody. That's right indeed. Be the character with all the crazy puns. That's right indeed.
Yeah.
That's right indeed. So, my goodness, so one of the chapter titles in the book, if I'm not mistaken, is that destiny is a moving target. So why is it a moving target?
Because as we change and evolve, what we also desire changes. Like, for instance, I talk about when I started my yogawear line, I had this dream that I would have an office of 300 employees and we'd have a cafe and I'll be drinking green juices and yoga pants. I had this whole vision, okay? And then as I started to solo travel a little bit, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want an office with 300 people and all of that responsibility. That sounds crazy. I want to be able to travel more. And I think before, when I wanted all of, you know, the office and that business and all of that, it was kind of like the girl boss era. Like that was kind of big. I was in my girl boss era for sure. But my business wasn't scaling. It was doing well, but it was staying consistently the same. And no matter what I did to scale, it wasn't happening. So again, it's like, don't force things. And I started to get opportunities to travel. And then I got the courage to solo travel. And then after I did my first solo trip, I fell in love with it so much that I was like, I want to travel the world solo. This is so much fun. And then that became my like desire. And so that's when I packed up everything and left for 2 years to travel around the world and write my book. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, destiny is a moving target. It's like, sometimes, like at first I was upset that my business wasn't scaling, but then I was grateful that that hadn't happened. Because had that happened, I wouldn't have traveled and I wouldn't have discovered how much I love solo traveling. And also, I probably wouldn't have written my book. So as even when things aren't happening the way you want them to happen, you can't get too down because there might be something around the corner that's better for you and better than you ever imagined. So I think you have to move with life, not against it. Moving against it is very painful. You have to move with it.
Ooh, that's a gem right there. That's right. Yeah, that's a gem straight out of one of her yoga pants, y'all. That's right indeed.
You know, I actually kind of envision it like water. You know, like how water, when water can't move over here, it moves over here and it slowly just like etches away at rocks, and it just flows where it can flow. And then it slowly cuts away at rocks, like anything hard. Slowly but surely, water will erode that. And I think that's a good way to think about moving through life, is flowing with it. And a friend told me, she's like, you're really good at following the breadcrumbs that the universe leaves for you. And I think that's very true. I've gotten very good at that. And I think the reason is because I didn't trust before, and that led me into like deep depression. And so now I'm like, I have no other option. I got to trust. Because not trusting doesn't work for me. So I'm going to trust and just take a leap of faith, follow the heart, and just keep going.
So trust fall city. You love to see it indeed. That's right indeed. Well, I guess jokingly, metaphorically, following the breadcrumbs of the universe, you may end up getting all the breadcrumbs and landing in one of those traps where it's a big old box with a stick and a string. If someone pulls a string, you might end up in the metaphorical box. So as if in the moment, aka a setback outside the depression that comes to mind, that was actually a setup for success for you.
You know what though? I think that's so, and I write about this in my book. Just because you are on your right path and you're following your purpose doesn't mean there's not going to be obstacles that come up. It doesn't mean it's not going to be hard sometimes. Because when I was actually abroad, my business stopped doing so well because so much competition had entered the market. See, I was like an OG of yoga leggings. Like I started making my yoga clothes a little over a decade ago. So that's when, you know, Nike, all these other brands, Aloe Yoga didn't exist. Nike wasn't making yoga clothes. Lululemon was very niche and just yogis knew about it. And then there was a couple of other smaller brands and then me. So I really got a corner on the market. But then when everybody started making it and charging barely anything, because they're making it in China, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't keep up. And all these other brands were targeting my customers. And I was like, oh God, you know? And that was really painful because I had spent several years, like six, seven years working so hard on that brand and getting it going. I mean, I hustled hard for that. And So I went into quite a bit of sadness. I went into a funk about it. And it also, it's kind of like, well, now how am I going to make money? But the cool thing was, though, I was already writing this book. I was already kind of moving in a different direction. I mean, I still make the yoga clothes and everything, and you can buy them. But it just wasn't going to support me anymore, I realized. And so I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do my influencer stuff. That's making me money. I'm going to finish this book. I'm going to, you know, keep on my path of writing this book. And then for side money, I started doing social media marketing for companies and stuff. And so that kept me afloat as I finished the book project and all of that. And so I guess I was metaphorically in like a box. I did get stuck for a second, but I was able to move through it because I really did trust the path that I was on.
There you go. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Just like in the cartoons, the capture, but she was able to escape indeed.
You know, my father said to me, he's like, Giovanna, why is this book just about girls? Men are confused too. There's a lot of confusion out there. And I was like, I know, Papa. Like, my dad with his thick Italian accent, it was so funny. I was like, I know, Papa. But I was like, I'm a woman. And he's like, no, but you can help them too. And then it was so funny. I told my publisher that. I was like, well, my dad is upset because he says there's a lot of confused guys out there that need this book. And she goes, listen, women buy the books. You're in the right market.
True.
So I was like, okay, we're all good. Okay, forget it. I was like, buy the books, okay?
Yes, indeed. Oh, and sorry for your loss of your dad. No, it's still probably fresh in you. Definitely, indeed.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. It's been 2 years now, which is crazy. It's been 2 years. That's, whoa. But yeah, you know, I talk to him all the time and I ask him for help. And he makes himself known for sure. And I think a lot of things, like good things that have happened to me, I like knew it was my dad. So I know I have like, I just look at it like I have an angel with me now.
That's right, D. Guardian angel status promotion. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, I usually ask this in one way, but you're going to be the second guest I customize this question for. So, your fabulous book, Confused Girl, Find Your Peace in the Chaos. If that book were a particular yoga pose, what would it be and why?
Oh my gosh, what would it be? I would say it would be like the warrior pose, warrior two pose. Because I look at Confused Girl as a superhero. Because I think it takes a lot of courage to admit to your own weaknesses, your own vulnerabilities, your feeling lost, you don't know what to do next. That's a very vulnerable place to be. And that's like a place of strength. And also the fact that you're willing to admit it means you're willing to do something about it. You're willing to discover something. And so I think that's a very strong, admirable person.
Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right, warriors, come out and play. That's right indeed. We got yoga pants and books. You love to freaking see it. We're the warriors, dang gummit. Warrior two pose. That's right indeed. The warrior one posers, they were posers. We're the real warrior pose, yeah.
Yeah, we're warrior right. Two.
Yeah, we're warrior two. We skip curfew. That's right indeed. We were so darn good, we skipped day one. That was orientation. We're the best since day two. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, how you come up with this?
That's right indeed. That's right. You've been in a vortex this whole time. You didn't even realize it.
Seriously.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. You thought crop circles were for outer space aliens. Nah, they're also for puns. Crop circles are all nothing but corn. Nothing but corn on a cob, a.k.a. pun on a cob.
Oh, my gosh, you're making me hungry.
Oh, wow. All right, so the side effect kicked in. All right, cool. One of the side effects of guessing on going north will be hungry for food. Well, before I open another rabbit hole, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again in 2025, what advice would you give to yourself?
Not to worry so much, and that everything's going to be okay, and to have more fun. I was really hard on myself at 25. I was very critical of myself. So I would want to tell myself, just don't worry, stop being critical on yourself, and trust me, just go have fun, experience things, and just enjoy.
With an eye in, enjoy it, dude. That's right, dude. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right. Enjoy yourself. Have some fun on a bun.
That's right, indeed. Have some fun. Don't be critical of yourself. Enjoy. I was so hard on myself. It was so, it's so crazy. I think that's a Virgo thing, right?
Oh, yes, ma'am, it is. So it's not being hard on yourself. It's like, dude, man, while y'all are focusing on rocks and pillows, we got boulders over here, buddy. That's right, yeah. Extra hard. Yeah. That's right, indeed. While everybody else is still being a cubic zirconia, we're becoming the ultimate diamonds over here, buddy. That's right. That's right, indeed. Diamonds in the rough. That's right, indeed. That's right. So rough, you might hear McGruff the crime dog. That's right, indeed. Rough. Oh, man. Well, before I say meow, folks need to actually jump for joy and say meow and head over to your magical site and cop some copies of your magical book and keep it with your journeys. So for those who need to do just that, what's the best way for folks to do so?
So you can go to my website, confusedgirlinthecity.com, and you'll see my book there. It has the link to Amazon, or you can just go to Amazon and purchase it there. Just type in Confused Girl, Find Your Peace in the Chaos. And also, I am on Insta, so you can get me on Instagram at Confused Girl LA.
Woohoo! There you go, Confused Girl LA. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. The L stands for legendary, and A stands for amazing. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's the goal. That's right, indeed. She's already got amazing. She's going for legendary now. You'll love to see it. Yeah, that's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Actually, now to think about it, I just had this idea. I can't believe it. You need to start an amusement park and then have one of the attractions be Confused Girl's Amazing Maze.
You know what's so funny you say that? I would so, I thought about that.
Nice.
I've actually thought about that. I was like, it would be a really cool amusement park ride. That would be really cool.
There you go. Or make like one of them cereal box type mazes for the kiddos. Be like, yeah, Confused Girl for the kiddos. It's an amazing maze.
Exactly.
That's right, indeed. It's a video game. It's like, yeah, like find the ultimate pair of yoga pants in some random mountains somewhere. That's right, indeed. You start in Bali and then somehow you end up at Mount Everest, but they rename it to Mount Everlasting Yoga Pants or something.
Oh my god. Okay, well, I'm calling you when this is happening. We can brainstorm some ideas.
Yeah, that's right, indeed. Even that little crystal cave is a side quest. It's like, yeah, before you reach Mount Everlasting Yoga Pants, you're gonna need to get crystals to find the yoga pants to make it complete. Go to the crystal cave, find some crystals. That's right, indeed. Yeah, that's right, indeed. Bring a lavender candle with you, too, for the laughs and giggles. I mean, calm and tranquility. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Before another rabbit hole pops up out of nowhere like a kangaroo pouch full. Yeah, folks, definitely to keep up with you and all that you do indeed. So you're that right, folks. Check out all of her wonderful wares. She's got you covered like a blanket indeed. So any parting words at all for our listening audience before we close up shop?
No, I would just say, you know, life is really short. And I know that that sounds like a cliche, but it really is. It is very short and you never know when it's going to be your last day. So it's really important to enjoy what's happening in your life and count your blessings and, yeah, enjoy. So figure out what makes you happy and do it.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three. And be sure to check out the backlog, too, while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.